This is exactly right.
Forgive me for interrupting. I'm Bridger Weiniger, host of I Said No Gifts on Exactly Right. Each week, I invite my favorite people in comedy over to chat, and they always bring a gift. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and every episode is a gem. I have welcomed all kinds of great guests, including Cola Scola, Bowen Yang, Robbie Hoffman. It goes on and on and on. And you don't want to miss the 200th episode with the great Maria Bamford. What does she bring me? Find out April 25th. New episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage. Time and date, terminal and gate. We wanna send you off in style. We wanna welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
With Karen and Chris. Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? This is Christopher Fairbanks.
This is Karen Lynn Kilgariff.
Wow, we went a little longer with our names this time.
Yeah, it felt good.
Usually I go by Chris Fairbanks. There's a legal reason I don't go by Christopher, but today and tonight I thought I'd fly by the seat of my pants.
Have you been thinking about this all day?
About coming out as Christopher?
Today and tonight?
I've been wearing certain outfits and dancing around with the idea of coming out as Christopher, yeah.
Yeah, how does it feel?
It feels good. I feel free.
I like your polka dot shirt.
I feel transparent.
Yeah,
oh,
good.
Thank you.
Nice.
No, there's another actor in town named Christopher Fairbanks who, right when I moved to L.A., he came to my show at M-Bar and he said, "Hey, we have a problem."
You said race to the TV, motherfucker.
Yeah, he had already won. He's been on Hunter.
Oh, shit. Yeah. So he's 82 years old?
He's in his 50s. Oh, he's a tall, bald man. I guess I'd handsome, of course.
Sure.
He's a Fairbanks. Why wouldn't he be?
He's a Fairbanks. Does he have bad joints, too?
I guess he deserves from living a longer life. Mine's just a gift from God. I'm going back to being Chris Fairbanks. And this is Do You
it's
Need
better.
A Ride?
It's better. It's more casual.
Thank you. Yeah, I don't want to be all, formal.
You don't own a restaurant.
I don't own a cummerbund.
You don't own it. You don't own it.
Yeah, exactly. My name isn't who I am. Well, actually, quite literally, it is.
It is, and it is for everybody. But still, we could say other things. Have those be true.
How are you doing?
There's a couple of Christophers for you right now.
Oh, look at the... Ah.
Girl.
Look at the gams on... That guy's got some big old... But he's got a curvy... That guy's a... I just like the guy, the way that guy was shaped. Does that sound weird for me to say?
Not at all. It was hard to deny he's wearing shorts. It's March. That's LA right now.
I was looking at the guy with the... Every once in a while you see a man. Men carry extra weight in different ways than women oftentimes. But occasionally... Occasionally you'll see a man with a big round woman ass.
Oh.
And I love it.
Wait, one of those guys had a big round woman
ass? Yeah, he had a big round woman.
He
had pockets of fat everywhere one would have muscle. So he had like big pecs, but then a big bubble butt.
Shit.
And I don't know, he just looked like a special breed of dog.
Like a St. Bernard type or one that would save you
from
the river?
Yeah, with a little barrel around his neck.
Oh, that's a good dog. Should you drive back by?
I said, let's cat call him.
Dog call him. Oh, man. What's going on with you?
Today I had a massage on my entire body.
Full body massage,
she said, you have the tightest hips of anyone,
girl,
any age,
oh,
that I've ever massaged. I think that's what she said. There was a language barrier, but she was very helpful, but now I'm in a lot of pain because of...
she shook it all out?
I just don't realize I have arthritis because it comes and goes, but yeah. Once you get rubbed down, man.
Painful?
Yeah, I'm in a lot of pain now, but it's a... I feel like I'd let out toxins or whatever that hippies say about massage and yoga. I really think there is something to that. I was storing a lot in my hips.
Yeah.
And
if you got the tightest hips in town, you're going to pay somehow.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Girl, you got to. It's worth it.
Yeah, I know you're storing all your stress in your hips, but where do you store your will to live? That's what she said at one point, and I thought... That was a little over
the
top.
That sounds like a challenge.
Yeah.
Was it going to be a Kill Bill situation where suddenly you had to fight her?
Or just for no reason at all, put on a yellow unitard.
Oh, my God. That would help your hips.
Yeah.
That would open that shit up.
Open up the pussy wagon.
Keep it loose. One time, listeners and viewers, I like to say viewers. One time, viewers, Chris Fairbanks and I can't remember what we were doing. We were not recording. We were driving somewhere together.
Uh-huh.
And whatever I was telling you about at the end of my thought, you just yelled, keep it loose at the top of your lungs. And it's, to this day, one of the funniest things that I've ever heard. Keep it loose! It was your advice to me for my life, and it's very, very true and good advice.
I'm going to text Chris Garcia.
Chris Garcia from San Francisco. I am a NorCaler, Bay Area person.
That's a Tig Notaro joke. That's not my joke.
That's not a joke.
It's
San Fran AIDS.
It's a joke because it's a non-joke.
It doesn't
rhyme.
My
it's dumb.
My least favorite kind.
It's
anything with AIDS in it.
Me too. I'm gonna pretend I never said it.
Oh, me too. Sorry.
Say it was because.
It was probably just a reflex.
You've heard it
so many times.
It was a dumb joke that I had with an old roommate, and we used to say it all the time between each other. And then every once in a while, you say those things out loud during a podcast.
You know.
Now I want to start recording
again.
Wait. Every time I say the wrong thing, I want to.
I judged you. Let me just tell you this: I had an extreme case of vulnerability hangover after our last podcast that we did. Well, not our last one, the one we did with Georgia Hardstark. Was that our last one?
Yeah.
No, that was the one before. But we talked about very vulnerable things on that podcast.
We were talking
about vulnerability in general. Then we both told very vulnerable stories.
Yeah.
And I was cringing for 72 hours after my story of almost being pantsed in high school.
Oh.
Because I didn't, in my memory, when I got home, I was like, oh, I didn't tell that on the podcast. I told that, like, when we were eating dinner or whatever.
Yeah.
Then I was like, no, I recorded that for all time. Like, every part of that story was
hideous.
Isn't
that funny how this is forever? San Fran AIDS, the dumbest joke in history, which I've now repeated. That will, anyone that's ready to like, boy, I'm going to look through social media to get upset about something today.
That's there.
This is going to do it.
It's going to be in a file. It could be a dusty one in the way in the back of the filing cabinet, but it's going to be there.
My brother struggled with AIDS in that very city, and for you to flippantly...
state two nouns.
And it doesn't even rhyme. It's a non-joke, she'll say.
That's me, right? You're talking about me.
Yes,
in the future.
I notice that you leave a lot of negative comments on our podcast, and I know that
I just want us to toughen up. It's kind of a Great Santini thing that I'm doing for us.
Great Santini, isn't he? Was he a balancing act?
No, that was that movie where the dad was this big asshole army drill sergeant.
He's coming out. Oh, okay. Isn't that San Francisco-y of him? Look at me with all the offense. I'm jabbing left and jabbing right. Yeah, I'm really pushing some buttons.
Okay, there's a grammar school on this side and a Korean church on this side.
You know, it took me years to realize grammar school was another word for elementary school. And Inspector Clouseau-looking man.
Shit.
He's behind us.
Oh, he is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he just hadn't come out yet, he said. Coming out.
Okay.
Which is, that's when I made a confusing joke.
Right.
But he will come out, and...
I'm rolling my window down, because it's...
Congratulations.
It's just, like, summertime hot.
Today is awful.
It's crazy.
It's a muggy,
We're Let's turning into Mars.
Enjoy some of the outdoor... Ooh, the sights and sounds of our visual podcast.
It smells beautiful. Sometimes and I then watch it. It'll smell like pee.
Sometimes I do watch our podcast, like you'll watch it, and I look at the SoundCloud.
You just stare at that thing.
There he is. Look at his collegiate shirt.
There he is.
California Berkeley, his shirt.
Hi, friend.
Hello, Chris.
How are you?
Chris Garcia entering the vehicle.
Here he is now.
Entering the 2008 Honda Fit. He's going on the other side because he's a professional.
That's right. Hi, Chris Garcia.
How are you?
Good.
Thanks for the ride.
Of course.
Welcome.
Thank you for needing one. It's good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
There's a little microphone right there.
Yeah.
There you go. Ooh, it is a little.
Chris Garcia, where's your show tonight?
My show is at Stories in Echo Park. It's called Good Heroin.
Have you ever done the Good Heroin show?
No, first time.
It's one of these shows where you're going to be like, oh, my God, how did they get all these people to show up? It's kind of like that Best Fish Taco show.
Oh, awesome.
Where it's just off the charts, off the chains, if you
off the charts.
Yeah, it's off the charts, and that's more like the medical industry version of off the chains. Yeah. You're off the charts here with your cholesterol, and then you're going to love it. That was the last great time I've had doing stand-up comedy is at Good Heroin Show.
Nice.
Oh, awesome.
You should do it. Karen?
I was invited to do it, and then I had to cancel.
Ooh, they aren't going to like that.
That's kind of my thing in the comedy shows around town, is I say yes, and then don't come.
How do you feel, Chris, when you have to cancel? Do you anguish over it like I do?
I feel guilty, yeah.
Yeah, there's feelings of guilt.
That's my security blanket.
Yeah.
Guilt is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always cloak myself in a nice quilt of guilt. Quilt of guilt.
This is Matt Ingebretson's show.
Yeah,
Matt Ingebretson.
I like to say Matt Ingebretson's name.
And David Ross. I can't do a British accent.
David Roos
actually did heroin, and then they named this show "Good Heroin."
Oh, really?
Yeah, he did it in
college. Are you kidding?
He was like almost a heroin addict.
Who is this?
Dave Ross.
Oh, really?
He smoked it in college.
Well, I mean, once.
I think he did it a while, and he did it so much that he had a final to do, and it was soccer. All he had to do is go show up and play soccer for this final, and he decided not to do it, so he just did heroin instead.
Oh,
and
wow.
Because of that, he graduated with less of than a 3.0.
Wow, I jokingly smoked crack once, but that's because me and my friend knew it was funny. We're like, this is hilarious, we're smoking crack, let's laugh about it.
How was it?
Really lame. Really
well,
lame.
Not fun.
Never would do it again. Yeah. Felt very bad for several days after.
Sounds terrible.
Was it like a crazy high?
We just had come across... No, not for me, man. Maybe it's because, I don't have any voids that need to be filled since I'm spiritually... I can't even come up with a lie.
Oh, no, that's right. You're the chillest bro ever.
Yeah. Right. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Thanks.
No, yeah.
Sometimes Karen has to put things into perspective.
Chris, what's the craziest drug you've ever done?
Yeah, the biggest, heaviest.
I'm not a crazy drug person, but I did heroin.
Yeah, neither are we, but it's okay. You're in a safe place.
I did acid one time in college, and I was like, I just broken up with my long-distance girlfriend, and it was the night before finals. And I had, multiple finals.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't know. I was like, it just probably lasts, half an hour or something, like weed. And I did the eyedropper kind, Visine kind. And I did, three or four drops in each eyeball.
Oh, my.
And I ended up writing an 8-page hate mail to Jennifer Lopez. And I stayed up all night. I thought I was a piece of gum. I put speakers on, the other side of my head. And I listened to a... What's that song, Gymnopodie number 6, Eric Satie?
Oh, yes, Satie.
Yeah,
oh, that's a good one.
And then I just cried, and I felt the music come out of me. And then I missed my finals, except for one. I went to the final, and I slept. Oh, no, okay. And it was in Berkeley, and I was walking down Telegraph Avenue, and I had my first day of work at Ned's Den, the bookstore, and my job was I was supposed to scrape off the stickers off used books. And I just walked in and then just walked out and I bumped into a parking meter and barfed.
Oh my God.
And I was like, I guess I should go to my final.
Wait, is this another story? This is another story about doing drugs?
This is the next morning.
In lieu of a final?
No, this is the next. This was the night before.
It's a parallel story, though.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Dave Ross and his final.
You and Dave Ross.
Oh, yeah. It was like school related.
Oh, man.
And then
drugs and tests.
I walked through campus. There's this part of campus that there's like biology. There's a biology building. There's all these white vans. And I walked between these two and I saw like a little people couple, like a midget couple holding hands. And I screamed because I was like in this weird place. And then I was like, I'm sorry. Oh God. No, never mind. Yeah. It was like a very Fairbanks moment. It was like,
yep.
And then I fell asleep in the bushes like outside of my class. And then I talked to my teacher. He was like a Nobel, not a Nobel laureate, but he was like a MacArthur scholar. This guy named Tom Gunn, who's like this amazing British or like Scottish from the UK. He's this amazing poetry teacher and poet. And I told him, I was like, sorry, I did acid for the first time and I have nothing in my brain. Like I have nothing left. And he was like, well, in the 60s, I wrote a book about acid. Do you want to talk about it? And he took me out for a beer. It was like the first time I ever went to a bar. And we talked about acid and how it makes you feel the infinity. Have a grasp of the like infinite present moment. And then he was like, oh, don't worry about your final. That was pretty cool. That was a good talk. Maybe just turn something in about this experience by the beginning of next semester. And so I wrote about my experience, and then he sent me notes on it and his book. And in the book, he wrote, "To Christian, model student."
Oh, that's
and I got an A in the class.
That's so great.
For doing drugs. That's because you went to Berkeley.
Yeah. That is so Berkeley.
It's like the most Berkeley experience.
It's totally. But here's the thing: I'm still very nervous about 3 drops in each eye. That is so intense. Yeah.
That's beyond getting, like, you know, funneling vodka in your anus. Isn't that a thing? Did I just make that up? Can't you do that?
No, okay, yeah, it's already existed.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was really, I missed all of my finals, and I had to explain it to my teachers, and none of them were cool about it except for Tom Gunn.
Tom Gunn! I'm going to read a book of his.
He's really cool. And then I had to, like, withdraw from pretty much, it was like I wasted my semester. A couple teachers let me turn in my, just like, okay, you're sick. But it really kind of messed me up for like a week or two. And I remember I saw rice. I went to the sink and I saw rice on a spoon. And I started crying uncontrollably for like 20 minutes. Because it ruined my world.
I want to talk about
the rice.
Yeah, I was like, that's not supposed to go on a spoon.
I love the part where you thought you were gum.
Yeah.
Yep.
I thought I was sitting on a beanbag, and then I was like, oh yeah, I'm a beanbag too, or I'm just like a piece of gum.
Oh wow.
But I actually did acid for the second time, like 15 years later. It was like this summer, and I was like, okay, maybe my brain wasn't formed right at the time, and I wasn't like, I don't know, I was just a kid. I didn't know how to take this stuff. And I went camping with my friends and took it. And I walked into the woods by myself. Like, I was like, this is my comeback. And I stared at the trees and I saw, like, you know, like a pit bull's face in a tree. And it looked like maybe like a wolf just, you know, in the tree bark. It was hallucinating.
Recording artist, pit bull.
Yeah, pit bull was there with
Mr. International was in the woods.
Mr. Worldwide.
Yes.
And I got frustrated with the acid not being strong enough, and I started yelling at it. And my friends, like, heard me from, like, a couple campgrounds down. I was like, that's all you got? That's all I was scared of? And I was having this crazy, like, battle with being high on acid and being, like...
It not being good enough.
Yeah, I was like, I'm frustrated. This, and then I was like, this is what I was scared of 15 years ago. This is what made me... drop out of school almost.
That's amazing to me. And to me, acid is a very heavy drug because I base it on how you feel afterwards. Because the time I took it, it was the same thing. someone had dripped it into dripped it onto sugar cubes.
Yeah.
And I was like, sugar cubes? I'm not afraid to eat no sugar cubes. And I ate like four of them.
Oh.
This was long. It was a long time ago in my snowboarding days, and I danced and had fun for like 2 days. It was the best feeling I'd ever had. But then, in the days afterwards, I could feel every joint cracking. I was like, oh, I'm very poisoned. My whole body. Did you experience that? Like your joints cracking and.
Well, I was like, I felt like flu sick for like a week or two.
Okay,
yeah. I felt really bad.
Yeah. Yeah, boy, drugs are no good, huh? Yeah.
They're crazy.
I mean, they open your eye, but they also open your immune system.
Yeah.
To a lot of undesirables.
I always felt like more should happen. I did acid once and we had a Christmas party. And so I had to host a party on acid. But it actually was the most fun thing ever. And everyone told me, like, that was the best party and you were the best hostess. And we did it at like, you know, noon. So by the time the party, it was like third wave by the time the party started.
Right.
But I decided I was going to wear this outfit. And, like, you know how girls have this much more than guys, but you buy outfits sometimes just randomly are like, oh, my God, I'll never wear this, but I have to buy it.
Right.
So I had this, it wasn't latex, but it was, like, this weird plastic dress that this zipped up the front. And I decided I was finally going to wear the plastic dress that was silver. And then this weird, like, 50s kind of see-through blouse underneath it. But it was December. It was a Christmas party. So I was freezing. Like, literally, my lips were blue, but I didn't know. So I was like, hey, welcome. People thought I had blue lips.
You're describing Jane Fonda's costume in some specific movie.
Barbarella?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
Continue.
That was kind of it. It was just stupid. And then, basically, everybody, by the time the whole party was over and all the people that did acid together just stayed at my house and, like, passed out on the living room floor. And everyone fell asleep, and I was laying there, and I had spinning Goofy and Mickey Mouses in my eyes.
Wow.
So, like, I couldn't go to sleep.
Was that part of the...
Yeah, it was, like, part of the acid trip, but it was, like, I was just seeing, like, these very commercial cartoon things just spinning in circles.
Wait, did they tell you you would? You're going to see Disney characters?
No.
Oh, God.
No, that was just a bonus for me personally.
Wow.
That's, like, how lame my brain is. It's just like, here's a thing you got sold when you were 8.
Yeah, oh, that's so... Well, it's a PC. It's a safe place, I suppose.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know. I think acid's kind of dumb.
Yeah. It's all...
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I like the more organic... natural ones.
Yeah,
well, and things that last, like you said, you thought it was going to last half an hour, like pot, like the idea. It just lasts too long. All those drugs do.
It's crazy. It's too long.
It's too long.
4 hours max.
Right.
A movie and some pizza. That's all you need.
That's terrific. I love it. But I've never done heroin. It's a bad one. That's the one that everyone knows you're not supposed to do.
Yeah, that's just too scary.
No,
it's
just the scariest. It's not worth it.
It isn't worth it. I don't care how great it feels. Someone could say it feels like your whole body is orgasming. Orgasming. And I'd say, I don't care, man.
Well, no,
but then
that's
it feels
just
like the exact opposite of that. So what's the point?
Yeah, you know? Yeah, like it, moments later when you're...
Well, yeah, it makes your life feel the opposite. Like, we're not supposed to live that way.
Nope.
We're supposed to, you know, we're supposed to buck up and live in the real world.
That's right.
You have orgasms every once in a while with your husband or wife.
Yes, under the eyes of God.
In twin beds, sleeping separately.
You scoot them together on weekends.
And then kiss lightly and leave each other alone.
Yes, light to mid-heavy petting.
It's Saturday nights only. Come on.
Keep it in the weekend.
Don't get greedy. Chris, what else is going on?
Yeah,
you.
Spill your guts, Chris.
I know, I get a little nervous on podcasts because I usually just go to, like, revealing too much about myself.
No, let's go.
That's all we do.
I kissed a girl's butthole when I was 7.
That's weird. I was just talking about a 7-year-old butthole before you got
really?
In. Yeah. No, I'm just saying
we
right
do
before
that.
You got in, we were talking about how we just blurt and we think it's between each other and then we realize thousands, sometimes 6,000 or 7,000. I'm not bragging. But you're on a very popular podcast.
Incredibly.
Chris. Very popular.
Yeah.
Originally, Karen and I were going to do a podcast about Alzheimer's because both our moms have Alzheimer's. And then your dad, and you have that story. I think you did a show when I was in San Francisco, mm-hmm. and that's when you did a show that, can you tell me about that show that kind of got you on, like, This American Life and Mark Maron's podcast and everything? Wasn't it one show that kind of...
Oh, it was, I guess it was part of, yeah, it was kind of based on that set. It was my last big show before leaving San Francisco where I had done comedy for, like, 7 years or something. Uh-huh. And I was headlining The Punchline. It was a kind of a big deal. And part of the reason I moved down to help take care of my dad. You know, he's got Alzheimer's and stuff. Yeah. And it started getting really bad. And I just decided to, like, pour my heart out at the show. And I just talked about it and how difficult it was. But it was funny. Like, I cried, like, half of the time.
On stage?
On stage. Yeah. First time.
Holy shit.
I was, like, crying, but also, like, cracking jokes about it.
Yeah.
And it felt like the first time I ever really did stand-up.
Right.
I was just, like, so honest and, like,
and you saying so that, it people are going to, of course, draw parallels because it's kind of like what Tig did when she talked about, and she didn't really plan to get emotional, but talked about having breast cancer on stage. It was around that time, and it was kind of a similar reaction, wouldn't you say, where...
Well, hers is so amazing, and it's like that's her story and her moment and her coming out. I was talking about my dad. Like, it's like different, but it is similar in the way that it was like, whoa, where did this came out of the blue?
Yeah.
And it was, and I think it was probably, you know, some people thought it was special.
Yeah,
for
and
me,
you,
you know,
I remember, because afterwards, because I was in town bravely doing jokes about my balls, and then we all met at that bar where a lot of fixed gear guys hang out and play billiards, and you did have this feeling, or this look on your face that you were very excited about what had just happened.
Yeah.
And I was just kind of overhearing it, but then I remember it turned into a lot of things, right? Didn't it,
well, it
turn
was,
into an appearance on This American Life?
Well, it was crazy because, I mean, there's a couple really wild things about it. It was the first time my therapist ever saw me do comedy. And when I showed up to the club, no one was there except for he was sitting in the very front row.
Oh, no.
And I've been seeing him for 2 years, and he doesn't know anything about my stand-up. I mean, he knows that I do stand-up, but he doesn't know if I'm good or anything.
Right.
He just knows behind the scenes, and I was like, oh, shit, I'm really nervous. So I go
outside.
That
would make me very nervous, yeah.
Yeah, I was freaking out. And he's like a ball buster, too. He's like this 70-year-old. He's like this little gay Italian man that was... Like, he grew up in the Bronx, and he's kind of socialized Jewish, and he's, like, he would just be like, oh, my God, listen to yourself. Why don't you just, how about this? How about we just record this one time, and then you don't have to come anymore. I'll just listen to the same tape every week, because you aren't learning anything.
Yeah.
Just give me $150 every week, and just don't fucking come in anymore.
Holy shit.
So, I loved him, because
it's
it
the
was...
the best.
It's the type of person I need, you know,
uh-huh.
rather than someone that's just sitting there and listening. I get frustrated
yeah.
with that. This guy was awesome, and I was like, oh, man, I got to knock it out of the park for this guy now. And then I go outside, and Bobcat Goldthwait is there because I asked him to do the show, and he happened to be in town. We're buddies. And next to Bobcat is Robin Williams.
What?
And I was like, oh, my God. Hi, how are you?
Uh-huh.
Jokingly, I was like, do you want to do some time? He's like, yeah, sure, no problem. Yeah, what? 10 minutes? And I was like, now Robin Williams is here. And I had met him once before at Comedy Day, and I was really drunk, and he was backstage. And I was so drunk that I was, like, kind of cocky. And he used to live next door to Ali Wong's sister. And so I was like, hey, Robin, we have mutual friends, you know, Ali Wong's sister. And she keeps complaining that she has to sweep your arm hair out of her driveway. And then he was like, huh, and just turned around. And I was like, oh, I blew it. Like, I didn't laugh. I was just a wasted asshole. And then I knew he didn't remember who I was.
Was
but
that
I was
an
like,
inside joke or just one about his arm hair?
Just
that
about
you came
his arm hair.
He just has crazy thick arm hair.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, nervous. I was like, oh, well, he doesn't remember. But I was just, it's Robin Williams. And so I was like, Bobcat, my therapist is here. And Robin Williams is like, oh, shit. And he's like, what are you going to do? He's like, that's crazy. And then we hung out in the green room. It was really nice. And I was like, oh, this is really crazy. It's my last show in town. It's my first time headlining the Punchline.
That was right before you moved to L.A., right?
Yeah, it was my big going away show. And I wanted to do it big so I wouldn't ever come back.
Right, right.
And so I was like, okay, I'm not going to make a fool out of myself and move back one day. I have to, like, and that's why I was like, had Bobcat and some other people on it and stuff. And then I went on stage and I, you know, did my jokes, my standard jokes, and then I just started really opening up about my dad.
Yeah.
And it was really, it felt really beautiful, and it felt like really the first time I was like, oh, this is comedy right here. This is, you know, it's just not gags and stuff. It's like, this is what is really funny. It's like, you know, my dad like trying to get it on with my mom and then stopping himself and being like, I can't do this, I have a wife and two kids. And like him trying to cheat on her with her and all this stuff that is like really unique to my life. But
yeah, that's hard. The best joke ever, but that actually happened.
Yeah, and oh, it happened.
Amazing.
And then I got off stage and I was like, it felt crazy because I just cried in front of like a packed house and stuff. And Rob Williams was just standing in the hallway and he was like, he gave me a hug and he was like, that was hilarious. I think he was like, that's hilarious and beautiful and from the heart.
Oh.
And like, I still get shivers when I think about it. And it was like this. Hearing that from him at that moment,
that's amazing.
It was like one of the greatest experiences of my whole life. And then I think some people were there that were like, hey, put me in contact with like the people at This American Life, and then Marin or something, or WTF.
Yeah.
And then I did WTF and it was like a live one and it was really fun.
Yeah.
So cool.
And then that helped me get This American Life.
Oh, that's great.
I was just going to say, it's that thing of like, I'm sure 30% of the people that were in that audience had somebody in their family that had Alzheimer's. Like, it's that kind of thing where you think it's only happening to you when actually it's happening to a shit ton of people every day.
Yeah, I always assume it's happening to older people. Like the age of, with my dad, when it was happening with my dad and his mom had it. Also known as my grandmother. But that's more common. But when it's... I always think that... Because we're young people, the three of us. It's traditionally, you know, people, you would think we wouldn't have to deal with this for another 15, 20 years. But there is a lot of people being affected, I think, more and more.
Yeah, it's like...
People are getting it younger, I think. Don't you guys think? Am I just making that up?
I think my dad got it like 65. Just like pretty young, I feel.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
like for early onset.
Yeah, my mom started showing signs at 59.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's bizarre. But how much time has passed?
Like 6-7 years. Okay. Like it wasn't so bad at first, and they actually thought they misdiagnosed him. And thought he was just, like, depressed.
Right.
Like, guys that, like newly retired people, like, older guys just feel useless or something, and they're kind of bummed out and subdued.
Yeah.
So then they were like, oh, fake out. He doesn't have it. And then he started, you know, getting forgetful and aggressive. And
the only way they can ever, because they can't really diagnose it. There's such a spectrum of all this dementia and just behavioral stuff that is under the same umbrella. It's like, they don't know it's Alzheimer's until you do specific things, like your actions help diagnose it, I guess.
It's so cruel. It's such a crazy disease. It's like anything, I don't know, you could be forgetful. I don't know. There's just so many different ways it, like, attacks you almost, you know? Like, and it's hard to tell what it is. Like, oh, maybe he's just forgetful.
Right.
Maybe he's cranky. He's depressed. Maybe he's irritable. Maybe,
right.
I don't know, he's getting old and he just got loopy. And
but then
like,
something happens where you know for sure that's what it is, right?
Yeah, for my dad, it was when I was in San Francisco, and my mom called me at like 6 p.m. My parents live down here in L.A., and she was like, hey, so your dad is missing.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, okay. And she's like, he's been missing since 7 o'clock in the morning. I was like, oh, what the fuck? Why did you... You're telling me now at, like, 6 p.m.? It's like, did you call the cops? And since she's, like, a little Latina lady that doesn't call the cops, she's like, no, why would I call the cops? And then I called the cops, and it was... And then they were like, oh, well, you know, someone's got to be missing for 24 hours before they're considered right. missing. And I was like... He has Alzheimer's. He could be under a fucking bus right now. You've got to look for him.
Right.
And it, and then they found my dad in South Central L.A. He took the bus from Redondo Beach to South Central L.A. And he waved down a cop and was like, I need help. And then they drove him back home.
That's interesting. Jesus.
But that's for me when the first time I was like, oh, shit. Like, this is real.
Yeah. My mom got on a bus once in Spokane and took it across town. But had she not been telling people she had murdered someone, which my mom never murdered anyone. Whoa. But that's what caused someone to call the police. And then they contacted my sister. She's like, I killed somebody. You know, when you have... I have a reoccurring dreams where I'm like, I killed somebody and I forgot about it. Yeah. You guys ever have that? I don't know why. And then you wake up and it's like, oh my God, did I really kill somebody in my 20s? Of course I didn't. Because in my dream I killed them by sitting in a chair and that we were on water and they drowned. That's not really even murder. That's just a precarious situation.
You. That's not you.
Yeah, yeah. But I, yeah, it's well, I can
it's
only...
That, it's that thing where they start to slip into that, like, dream world. Like, my mom used to do a lot of, like... You could tell she wasn't asking questions that she really wanted to ask because she didn't want to freak anybody out. But then, like, one time we were sitting there and she just turned to me and she goes, who are those people? And, like, she was seeing people in the room with us. And it was just her and I. So there would be, you know, there's always that, like, that's why it's such a fucking hideous disease, is because it's degrading and it's, you know, it, like, it makes, you know, someone going crazy is just so dehumanizing. But then also it's so scary for the people that are there with the people. It's just like, it's just like a really long, boring horror movie that you can't get out of.
And it's like, it's dangerous for the care, like their caretakers or whoever they live with. Like, for my dad would just like constantly walk in the middle of the night. He'd like grab a knife and think someone was like trying to break in, and he would like become violent and like break things. And it's like, it's...
Yeah.
I mean, it's the worst for the person that has it, but it's really...
Yeah, these are similar.
It's
interesting to hear your stories, and then, because they're similar. My mom, walking around outside with no shirt, just in her bra, holding a hammer, but not threatening people. She just happened to have been hanging pictures and then thought,
that was like the last thing in her
hand. I'll go outside before I put on a shirt. And so it's such a... It's such a interesting... I wonder how similar those situations are, and if the...
Well, that's it. You know, they get the sundowners thing where, like, they walk at night. When the sun goes down, they start to get really restless. My dad got a call from our neighbor once, and it was a woman who told my dad that the day before she had found my mom walking downtown, and so she gave her a ride home. And my dad had been taking a nap and just thinking that my mom was in the house with him. And so he didn't even
know... That's like a werewolf.
Yeah, he didn't even know what happened until she called and said, I just realized you should probably know this, and this is, you know, this is a thing. But it was just my mom, like, in a robe walking around downtown in our town.
In a robe?
Yeah. Just walking around, and thank God our neighbor drove by. Like, who knows what would have happened? But, like, our neighbor drove by and said, Pat, are you okay? Do you need a ride? And she like, was aware enough to go, yeah, I do. I need a ride home.
That's what's so devastating about, because I see a lot of homeless people, and, you know, it's safe to assume that a lot of homeless people are mentally ill, more than half of them.
Yeah.
But a lot of them,
for sure.
I'll see a woman, and you can just tell by looking at her that she is a mom, and you can tell sometimes, like, it sounds dumb, but I'll look at, like, a homeless person's shoes, and it's like, wait, you've only been homeless for, like, a week, and you're carrying a lampshade, and that could have been anyone's parent. That's just someone that didn't get a call.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they didn't, and then someone's like, oh, my mom's missing, and maybe she's just downtown in Skid Row. I'm doing a bad job of, like, describing this, but...
No, but I've become, like, really sensitive, or, like, attuned to that. Like, just a couple weeks ago, I saw some just old guy standing in front of Walgreens, staring at the door.
Right.
And I went into Trader Joe's, and I came back out, and he was still there. And I just, hello, sir, are you okay? Like,
yeah.
How are you? Like, what's your name? Yeah. Like, talked to him for a second. He's like, oh, man. Oh, yeah, nothing. I'm okay. I'm like, okay. But I was like, that could be
right.
Bad, you know?
Yeah. That was yeah.
Yeah, it's sad. Scary.
But it feels nice to, like, you know, we do these shows and stuff, and afterwards you find out that you don't feel so alone because other people, you know, my mom has, my dad has, my grandpa died from it, all this stuff. And then to bring light to it is, like, it's humanizing this terrible dehumanizing disease again.
Yeah.
Right.
Because it is funny. Like, my mom, recently, there was... My dad was like, there's this other small... My mom's really short, and there's this new lady in his... He's in a home now,
mm-hmm.
and there's this new patient who's this small Japanese lady who has my mom's same name, uh-huh. Anna. And my dad was like, just started holding her hand and being sweet to her. And my mom would come visit, and my dad would be like, who's this bitch? Like, to my mom, like,
oh, no.
Get out of here. Would you please leave us alone? And
oh,
my mom would be
no.
like, they've been married for 50 years. They were high school sweethearts. My mom lost her virginity to my dad.
Oh.
Like, and she's like, what the fuck? And she's like getting super frustrated. And then, like, maybe like 6 months later, my mom's like, hey, that lady, a lady Anna died. And I was like, oh, that's terrible. And my mom was like, that's what that bitch gets. Like, as a joke, but I was like, oh, shit. I was like, that's just funny. And I know my mom doesn't really mean... She's just cracking a joke. But it's like, ah, that's a good one. It's
yeah.
like the darkest.
Well, it's because it gets... to me, it's like 10 times funnier. Like, my sister and I have, like, cried laughing over the darkest shit because... You shouldn't be laughing at it. And then it just, that makes it, like, one time my mom came downstairs and she was just wearing a fleece zip up and no pants and a pair of sunglasses. And she came into the kitchen. Like, my mom's was especially painful for us because she stayed herself in these certain ways. And then in these other ways, she was so different.
Right.
So she would, every once in a while, you'd get a flash of her old personality. So, like, she came down and she was just standing there with her sunglasses on. And then my sister, like, hey, Mom, what's up? And she's like, I don't know. And, like, kind of, like, super, like, we were dorks and she was the coolest person ever. And we, like, could not stop laughing. It's just, like, she always grabbed sunglasses. Everywhere she went, she grabbed and put on sunglasses when they weren't hers. It was
just
the funniest
as a
thing.
Joke?
No. She put them, that's what she wanted. She wanted to have sunglasses on
oh,
all the time.
Oh, okay.
It just added that extra kind of, like, almost internet feel.
It's like a meme.
Yes.
That's so great. Yeah, it's interesting how, because I feel like my mom is just kind of trapped in this shell of a person that used to be her, because she can't talk anymore, can't eat on her own, but she makes facial expressions and looks at things and then turns to talk shit about them. Or make fun of someone's... Because my mom would just make fun of people. That's where I got it. And nothing comes out. But I'm like, oh, I know you're being funny right now.
Yeah.
And so I just laugh. Even though the joke never came out. She's just like, yeah, get a... I know she's making a look yeah. on her face. Like, get a load of funny britches over here. Like, not that she would use that word. Whatever. but they're still there. So you have to just... hold on to these little reminders, you know?
That's the whole thing that makes it, like, worth
Fuck
it.
Fuck you. Oh, my God, I'm going to go after that bitch. Oh, my God, I hate her so much.
Oh, she was on a little scooter,
she
too.
She was on a That's scooter, that. And I was just trying to take a left turn.
Yeah.
Wait, what time's your show, Chris?
It's at 8.
Ooh, we better go there.
He's not going to be first. He's a heavy hitter.
No, come on.
It's a loose show.
Keep it loose.
Hey, Chris, I mean, we've had this... I think this has still been funny this whole time, but I was excited
well,
for
not
us
the
to
whole
all.
Time.
I mean, there
I liked it.
My transition into getting you to talk about it. I've been so awkward this whole time.
No, but, I was hoping that we would talk
oh,
about
yeah,
this because we
sure.
have. It's so nice to talk to other people that are going through it.
And I've just out in the streets or in our personal life have wanted to talk to you about this. So why not? record it and try it out for the first time in front of a bunch of people. But not to change the subject, but the show you're going to do is going to be very fun. And you're about to have a very good time. I promise.
Thanks, dude.
Chris is saying is no crying, please.
Yeah. Do your best dick jokes.
Sometimes I feel like talking about my dad. And I'll do it, and I'm like, oh, I'm in a sports bar right now,
they're
dude.
They're going to love it. No, this crowd, it's behind a bookstore, so something about passing a bunch of books, people adjust their brain, I think, a little. They're like, it's a smart audience. Maybe I was there in a good night, but I was blown away by how
nice great
this audience that you're about to experience.
Awesome.
Is it over there? Do you guys know where it is exactly?
It is that next light. It's the block after that next light, but I think if you just make a left at that light.
Yeah. But to the right, correct?
To the left. If you make a right, we're going to take a right,
and then once we're on this street, which is Sunset, it'll be on our left.
Okay.
Yes.
I just made it more confusing by adding words.
Here,
yeah, we could actually take a left here, and then we'll do the sneak attack in the alley, because that's where the performing actually happens.
Yeah.
And then there's some nice urban wall murals that I like to call them urban wall murals rather than graffiti, because there's a negative connotation with that.
Really?
Yeah, and I call the tramp stamp tattoo, and I call them the lower back piece.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that as a tramp stampy. I think it's really nice. Do you still have your butterfly? It's a salmon.
With reggae lyrics around it?
I have a salmon.
With sunglasses on.
I don't know why. I was drunk. I'm an alcoholic, that's why. Things got really dark in the 90s, and I wanted to commemorate it with a fish.
I have a tattoo of a Band-Aid on my ankle, so...
For real?
Yeah. You've never seen it?
I feel better.
It's right there.
I've never seen that.
That's awesome.
It just looks... I mean, it's kind of... It's shaded, so it looks like a corn dog or a severed human penis. But it's a Band-Aid.
Chris, any tattoos?
Yeah. I think it's right. Yeah. I have a tattoo of a Pablo Picasso sketching on my arm.
Oh, really?
Really? Yeah.
I think 9/11 had just happened, and George Bush was being all weird, and I was like, yeah, Picasso, his dad gets warped, Guernica's too big, I'm gonna get this little bullfight scene.
I have to see that.
And it's, I had no hair on my shoulder when I got it, and now it's like covered in hair.
Here's where the show is.
Oh, look at it.
Oh, awesome.
Can just pull in here.
Think so?
Yeah, fuck yeah.
What about the check cashing payday loan?
Oh, well, people want to do that round the clock. Oh, this is perfect. Look at this rear entry.
Fun times.
Drop off.
Nice. Wait, Chris, you're getting married, right?
Yeah. In October.
In October. How's that going?
Fun. Planning it and stuff. We're going to get married in Joshua Tree.
Oh, nice.
And, it was funny, my mom, they're really Catholic and traditional, and she's like, so, what church? I was like, Joshua Tree?
In the Church of the Desert?
Yeah.
Cactus University.
Like, who's gonna be the pastor? And it's like, Alex Cole, my comedian friend.
Oh, is Alex Cole gonna officiate?
Yeah, he's gonna officiate. Great. And she's like, oh, your Jewish friend. He's like, is he a rabbi? He's like, I don't want to talk about it, Mom. It's gonna be outside. It's gonna be okay.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. That's refreshing to hear if someone's parent still being religious, but that's just where I come from. No one's religious in Montana.
My mom's holding it down for everybody.
Nice. Oh, good.
She's a good lady. Is she doing good?
Yeah, you know, she started going to therapy. My sister and I were like, hey, you gotta go to therapy, and which is hard. Latin people, it's like, I'm not gonna tell a white person my secrets.
Right.
I tell God my secrets, and that's it.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, well, you should still go to therapy, and she's been going, and she's been doing really well, and my dad just had a birthday, and those holidays are always tough, but she was like in good spirits, and my dad tried to blow out the balloon, tried to eat the candle,
sure.
But we're like, oh, let's have, it was fun, it, like, it's sweet, you know, and
yeah.
So she's a real tough lady, and my dad used to handle a lot of the stuff before he got sick, And she's just knocked it out of the park, and she's, like, taking care of stuff. And
oh, that's great.
She lost her car key recently, and she went to, like, some shady guy in her neighborhood to, like, get a new key made. And the guy was like, it's like he made the key, and it was like, it's $100. And she's like, I don't have $100. He's like, give me your watch. And then what? She was like, I'll fucking call the cops right now, motherfucker. And she, like, went off on him.
Oh, that's great.
And cause also she thought he was ripping him off.
Yeah.
And she's like, that. And it was like, oh, no, those keys are actually $100.
Oh.
But she's, like, standing up for herself. Like, stuff that this little lady had never done. She's, like, become a real tough
Even when
person.
It's the wrong thing to do. She's
no, it's still
standing
right.
Standing her ground.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Standing her ground.
Practice
like,
those boundaries.
Yeah. $100, and it's kind of a
well,
beautiful
yeah,
thing to witness.
It's got an alarm on it and stuff. It's an expensive key.
Yeah.
But yeah, saying, give me your watch is, yeah, she deserved that.
Yeah.
Good for her. That's great.
That's awesome.
Well, do you want to do your comedy concert? Ooh,
yeah.
Ryan Singer.
Oh, who's that? Beautiful hair.
Yeah, he's got a nice head of hair.
Who else can you see?
He's got real...
Matt Farr, again, from Atlanta.
I don't know
Trucker
that.
Trucker hat.
Wow.
Good guy, funny guy.
Excuse me.
Singer, have you heard Singer's latest podcast where he does DMT with Shane Moss?
No.
What?
They do DMT, like Ryan does it for the first time, and Shane's an expert and walks him through it. And then Shane does it, and he's done it so much that he's, like, totally talking through his experience. He's like, whoa.
Oh, I thought Shane Moss was, like, a sober guy now.
He was, and then I guess he does ayahuasca. Or no, he does, like, DMT and stuff, but I don't think he drinks.
Is DMT like ayahuasca?
I think it's, like, the cliff note. It's, like, the 15-minute version.
Oh.
Well, ayahuasca, I've been told by some people you, like, have to go and be guided through by a shaman and be in a yurt and all this stuff. And you can't just go out and take it and go out to a show or something. You have to... It's like an experience because everyone kind of sees the same, is visited by a guide. And
like
I'm interested in doing it myself.
I have a shaman that I can put you in touch with.
Do you have a shaman?
I swear to God.
Well, I have a Sherpa, and I know that you were going to go to...
Yeah, we can do a Sherpa-shama exchange.
Sherpa
like we've been talking about.
Oh,
no
that's
problem.
Awesome.
Oh, shawarma. I also...
Yes, we get shawarma after.
I'll give you a chicken shawarma if you let me use your shaman. And do you have that Sherpa? What's a fourth word that... Oh, it's so fun to play
you
math.
You could do a kind of a swing reference if you had no if you had no boundaries
if
or
I,
no standards whatsoever.
When did I ever... of course, don't have any new bounders. Bounders? Oh, okay.
Do you ever do bounders? That's the best drug. It's like DMT mixed with ayahuasca. And three drops of acid.
It makes you act like a hyper dog.
Wait, you guys, I'm loving this because look, it's like a little, there's like a little green room out in this alley and we're just looking at it from the car.
Through the gate.
Like we can just watch as comedians kind of, hi, how are you together?
Yeah, it's like a little terrarium.
Comedians just acting like dudes together.
Look at those dudes just duding around for the love of comedy.
Just patting each other on the back, already being so supportive.
There's been a lot of backpacking.
A lot of backpackers. Maybe they need a Sherpa. You know, I don't think that there's that kind of support if that was a group of lawyers we were just looking at.
And I want to go in there and just start slapping people on the back, even if they don't know me.
Yeah. I mean, nothing against lawyers, but fuck them.
Yeah.
This is the funnest part of the show, Chris, is that while you're doing comedy, there's people in these apartments that I just assume one of them would end up being a sniper. I was horrified, and I said, just some sniper up there surrounded by cats. And then everyone looked up, and sure enough, there's a shadowy figure of someone surrounded by cats. And there was no way I could have planned that. But I think it made me have one of my favorite concerts of my life.
So use your space. Use what you see.
Use your space. Here's some tips, Chris. The unsolicited advice going into this show.
I love it.
Use the stage.
Pat them on the back.
Yes, everyone. Even the audience. Walk through. Pat their back. Feel it out. Experience. It's tangible.
Awesome.
Ooh, look at that. Okay.
Ooh,
Chris
see
is like,
the
can I just get out of this car?
It's hot in here.
It's really hot.
Hey, Chris, thanks for being on Do You Need a Ride?
Oh, thanks so much. This is really fun.
And thanks for talking about the things we talked about.
I loved every second of it.
I did too.
It was pretty great.
Yeah, I agree.
Do you have anything you want to plug?
Yeah.
I guess every Monday in Echo Park at Little Joy Bar. I have my show, The Business.
The Business. I've done The Business, yeah. And it's great.
It's you guys should come show. Back and do it again. But yeah, it's every Monday.
For sure.
And what's your Twitter?
Oh, it's _ Chris Garcia.
It's important to get that, get a couple followers.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you for being on the show. You've been listening to Do You Need a Ride? DYNAR.